Keith's going to be preaching again today. So for those of you that don't know Keith, he's very much part of our leadership team. They're from North Hills, but they kind of seconded across to us to give us extra assistance and help. And it's just lovely having Keith and Tessa really ministering in our church. And Keith's a big part of our teaching team, and so we really enjoyed his teaching ministry and also the prophetic ministry that he brings to our church. And I'd just like to pray for you, Keith, as we start. Jesus, thank you so much for your words of encouragement that you've already spoken to us today. And I just pray that as we continue to listen, help us just to open our ears. And we just pray, Lord, that you would lead Keith as he shares this word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry about that. Good morning, everybody. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord with people that you love, people that you appreciate. And you know what? It's such a privilege for each and every one of us to be here. I mean, you just hear stories of people across the world that don't have us, that meet in secret, and people that don't have us freedom, people being persecuted. But my wife was in India at the end of last year, and just the stories of even the Christians being persecuted there at the moment. But we know we serve a mighty God that is for us, and he fights our battles on our behalf. And I also had an encouraging word for this morning. I don't know who it is for specifically. It might be for more than one person. That's why I didn't get a name to it. And the picture that I had is of a person sitting in a vehicle, and they approached a traffic light, and the traffic light was flashing orange and a green, orange, red at the same time. And the person didn't know whether they must go or wait, because it was just kept on flashing. And very confusing when it does happen, so we don't always know how to approach the situations. But the encouraging word is, God says, be still and know that I'm the Lord. That I go before you, I know the beginning from the end, and if you spend time on me and submit to me, I will tell you, I will direct you. Those lights won't flash, the green will be clear, when you need to stop it will be clear, I will lead you, says the Lord. So if you're in a situation this morning, just I encourage you, just take it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going, but I submit myself to you here. And Apple, when I came into the hall this morning, you were standing up and we greeted. I had a picture. Do you know who Atlas is? He's a man with a world on his shoulders. And I feel like you're carrying a burden at the moment that God says, listen, cast that burden off. Rest in me. I am the Lord. You don't need to carry it, but I died for you. All those things that you are carrying, do not worry about it. I will set you free. I will direct you. I will guide you also. So don't carry the world on your shoulders. We are not made to carry a burden. Jesus said, who the Son sets free is free indeed also. So be free in the knowledge that God fights your battles on your behalf. You heard Doug saying, as a church, we are talking about being on mission with God, and we are all called, each one of us, to be on mission with God, to, in our own areas of influence. It might be in a school, university, our workplace. God has put you there for a reason, and the reason is other people around you. And it's so easy. I mean, I've fallen in that trap many a times, and I've got to guard myself from falling into a trap. It's so easy just to go into our days every day and just do what we have to do. They go over and we realize, you know what, if I look back, have I actually counted? Did I make a difference in somebody else's life? Did I share the gospel? Did I share the good news with somebody else? And if you replay that day and look back, you will see there might have been opportunities where you actually had opportunity to share the good news with somebody. But yet we didn't recognize it, or maybe we were scared, or things happened in our life that prevented us from sharing that story. If you can open your Bibles in Romans 1, please. Now, Paul is one of my favorite characters in the book. It's a man that persecuted God's people. God did arrested his soul, did a miraculous transformation within his heart, and man, he lived the gospel. Whether he was beaten, shipwrecked, bitten by a poisonous viper, he lived his life fully for God. And I believe it's a picture of how God wants our lives to be for him. It is a life of excitement. And when we actually commit to that, You cannot explain it to somebody unless you start walking that road yourself. Unless you are saying, Lord, I'm sold out for you, use me. And when God starts using you, it will be just words to you. So my encouragement is to settle in your heart this morning that God wants to use you. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you are also among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. This verse 5 spoke to me. It says, through him we receive grace and apostleship. So when you feel inadequate at times and you don't know what the words to share with a person, know that Jesus, you have received grace. In that situation, there is grace. Just trust upon God. He is with you. I've been there many times where there's a person I felt led to either pray for the person or to share a testimony with the person, and the fear or man comes over you, or you feel, I don't know what to say, I feel inadequate. And early days, you think that, you know, that's a part of the job of the pastors or elders in it. And God said, hey, you know what, in that moment, don't think like that. My grace is sufficient for you. I've appointed you. I've called you. My spirit is within each and every one of you. Stand up, say, Lord, help me, and step out in faith. Spreading the gospel, whether you like it or not, is the mandate for every believer. That's a non-negotiable. Jesus didn't make it an option. If you call yourself a child of God, you have got part to play in sharing the gospel with other people. People that don't know the goodness of God yet. That was Jesus' mission. Luke 4 verse 18 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has appointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and to recover the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus was on mission. His mission was to reconcile mankind back into relationship with God. People that have been bound up in sin, captive in sin, people that are sick, he came to set them free. So listen, you know what? You don't have to live this life. There's a better way. I was just amazed reading through the back of the book of Acts this week again, how many times it was referred to as the people of the way. The way Jesus came is a better way. There's a better way to live. That is the essence of the gospel. That is the good news of the gospel. You don't have to be trapped in the way that you're living at the moment. There is a better way. We are people of the way. We are people directing people. So listen, this is the way you need to go. So Jesus was on mission. Likewise, from Adam, the time of Adam, God was on a mission to reconcile his people. And now he's given us that mandate. So you know what? People living in sin, people in captivity, the only way they're going to hear about it is if we speak. We can say and opt out, say, hey, you know what? Our God is sovereign. God is in control. God will make a way happen for those people. That is not. God has given us that mandate. God will not move unless it's through human beings. God will not move unless it's through his church. You and I sitting here are the vessels that God's going to use. He's not going to come miraculously. You know what? Come down to earth. Say, oh, right. I decide I'm going to just let everybody be saved now. And speak. Because when people see me with their own eyes and when I speak, they will come to know me. God says, no, you know what? Each of your stories, each of you got an individual story to tell. And God wants to use that story to lead other people to him. What God's done in your life, you've got to share with other people. It's a privilege that God Almighty wants to use me and you. When I think of how inadequate I am, really, how feeble I am, how many mistakes I have, and that God says, no, you are still my chosen vessel. My grace is with you. I want to use you. All you have to do is make yourself available to me. So coming to my message this morning, the title is Preparation and Prayer to Go on Mission, basically. To go on mission, to share the gospel with people, it's got to start in a prayer room. It's got to start in your prayer closet. Jesus many a times said, I only say and do what I hear my Father say or tell me to do. Nothing else. So if Jesus did that, and Jesus said that, how much more do we need to hear his voice? Lord, what do I say in this situation? Lord, what do I do in this situation? That is prayer. That's the essence of prayer. Communicating with God. Sitting at the feet of God. Say, Lord, what is your will? What do we do in this situation? Yet many of us fall short, especially in a area of prayer. Prayer comes so difficult. I don't know why. It is such a difficult thing for a lot of believers struggle in the area of prayer. And that is why they don't see the victory. That's why they don't see the fruits in their lives, because they don't take it to the Lord in prayer first. In Psalm 72, which deals with the Messiah, it stated, prayer shall be made for him continually. Prayer would be made for his coming to save man, and prayer would be made for the success of the plan of salvation, which he would come to set on foot. To be an effective fisherman, Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Remember last time I spoke on how to be an effective fisherman. Jesus says, it starts with me, nowhere else. It doesn't start by just reading the Bible and learning scriptures. Say, okay, I'm going to learn this scripture parrot style now, and when I come across an unbeliever, I'm going to share these scriptures with him. You're going to fall short. You're not going to be effective. You might be effective for one or two situations, but God wants us to catch a fish every time we cast our line. That is the God that we serve. I was sharing with Doug this morning about this Muslim guy in Afghanistan that came to know the Lord miraculously. And through his own words, he was in this country for 2 years, and in 2 years period, he led close to 2,000 people to the Lord. That's 1,000 people a year. It shows me God has done something in that man's life, and he was sold out for God. Now imagine if each one of us just said, listen, Lord, just one person a year. Just one person a year. Next year there won't be seats here. If you ask, you're going to receive. I've tried it. I promise you I've tried. I said, Lord, put somebody on my path. He was faithful to answer. Yet, I just want to highlight some common mistakes people make in sharing the gospel effectively. And there are areas that they step into and it makes them actually ineffective. And God wants us, like I said, when we cast and when we speak to a person, we want to reach that person's heart. And God wants us to reach that person's heart. So where do we start? How can we be more effective? So one of the mistakes we make, like I said, I've touched it, is we don't pray enough first. Most of us, we face situations in our life, and our prayer life consists of a shopping list. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with this. Lord, make a way here. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. I've prayed like that many times. Yet the Bible teaches us it's more blessed to give than to receive. So it's more blessed, actually, when you turn away from yourself. God says, I know your needs. You don't have to ask for him. Yet, it does encourage us to ask him. But when your prayer life consists of the majority of time spending asking God for things for yourself, we cannot be effective. Most of our time should be actually asking, Lord, how do I reach that person? Lord, praying for that person. When you start praying and focusing on other people, you'll become a lot more effective. Like I said, Jesus did nothing without consulting the Father. John 12:49 says this, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. Many a times Jesus would withdraw to a quiet place. Go and read the book of John. Go and read the Gospels. Many a times, because he wanted to hear the voice of his Father. So when he faced the people, he would have heard the Father speaking to him already. It's got to start in our prayer closet, people. John 14:13-14 says this, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for me anything in my name, and I will do it. Anything. anything, nothing, nothing, nothing is excluded from that. That is what anything means. It doesn't mean maybe this or maybe that. It means anything in my name. But what God and what Jesus is desperate for is an intimate relationship with us. Us sitting at His feet. Lord, what is Your will for my life? Lord, what is Your will for that person? We've got many purposes on this earth, but the two major purposes is to know Him and to make Him known. Everything else is vague in comparison to it. To know Jesus intimately, and then to make Him known. Matthew 9:35-38, we all know this very well. It says this: "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest.'" We can easily use this prayer of Jesus as a cop-out. Say, "Lord, raise up so-and-so, or raise up people to go and share Your good news." And we try and exonerate ourselves from it. That is not what Jesus was saying in this prayer at all. Yes, we need to pray for more people to go out into the field. But this does not mean that we are exonerated. And I will come back to that point a bit later. See, when we pray, when we sit in the presence of God, God does something in your heart. It automatically, there's a shift happening in our focus. We realize how big our God is. He does a deposit in your heart. He does something in your heart. And when you walk away, you feel, you know what? I am not the same. You cannot be the same after spending time with God, after being in His presence. When you spend time in prayer, we pick up His heart. What is Your will, Lord? He makes a deposit in our hearts. I started swimming just before Christmas, and I knew I needed exercise because you all know I'm not very mobile, so I need to exercise. So when I started swimming, I haven't done it for a while, 100 meters, I battled. I huffed and I puffed, and I said, this is difficult. But next day I was back in the pool. Still difficult, but I didn't give up, and I'm up to a kilometer a day now, swimming. So what I'm trying to say is, prayer is difficult. It doesn't become easy, because you know what? When I talk to Tony, when you can see a person, the conversation is two-way, and we don't always hear God's voice straight away. But your prayer life should be where you actually spend time with God, and where you are quiet as well. Where you worship God, you read His word, and then you sit still. Speak to me, Lord. Not easy to do. And I'm saying it because I've walked that road. Not easy to do. But the more we do it, and the more we persevere, the easier it becomes. And at this moment, I'm looking forward every day to my swim. I can't wait till this afternoon to get into the pool to exercise. And the same will happen in your prayer life. Because you will feel that muscle getting stronger and stronger. You will feel revitalized by it. You'll feel more energy. And you just want to go and do things. Your mind works clearer when you exercise. The same with prayer. The more you do it, the more you exercise that muscle, the easier it becomes. So that's the first thing. We don't pray enough for the lost especially. The second thing is, we step into a trap of getting into debates with people. We're trying to prove to them that we have the right way. The truth is that we have the right way for him, but we don't need to debate with him. Because the minute you start debating with people, defenses come up. People start thinking of ways to counter your argument. So please, don't fall into a trap of engaging people and trying to debate. There are different platforms. God, we cannot reach people by debating with him. How many times have you tried to debate and you walked away? I found the ways, I mean, especially if Jehovah's Witnesses say, you know what, when they come to your gate, I'm going to show them the truth now. And they come with their voice and you counteract. And I found myself to be ineffective. The times that I found myself to be effective is when I started using my testimony. Because the minute you use your testimony and you speak what God has done in your life, there's no argument against it. It refutes him straight away. They don't ever come back. So my encouragement is, start speaking stories. Revelation 12:11, you will overcome them by the blood of a lamb and the word of their destiny. Your story of what God has done for you is the most potent weapon in your arsenal. So don't enter into a debate. Just tell him what God has done in your life. All the other truths of God, of who he is, will come afterwards. There will be opportunities to share that. Number three, forgetting to listen and identify with people. Hey, when you got an opportunity, say, oh, now I've got a captive audience. I told you guys a story before when I picked up a hitchhiker and I thought, you know, God has put something on my path now I've got a captive audience. God shut my mouth and that guy spoke into my life. That's why we've got 2 ears, one mouth. Learn to connect with people. Get to know the person. Too often our focus is getting our point across because we already know that we are right. We want to make our point known. God says, listen, connect with the person. Find the person's heart first. Try to find common ground. I was in a sales game for a very long time, and I'm not a salesperson. I'm not the type of person that can sell ice to an Eskimo. I'm an introvert by nature, but yet I was very effective at my job. Market share grew. God gave me favor. I mean, we grew a brand all across South Africa. I started selling from the van. One or two cases here, one or two boxes there, and eventually we had the network across South Africa. And the secret of my success, I didn't even study marketing, I didn't study sales. God told me, I'm a bridge builder. So whenever I had appointed a person, whenever I knew I was going to meet a person, I said, Lord, help me to build bridges with that person. I would try and find common ground. What sports do you like? What are your interests? What makes you happy? What makes you sad? You build bridges first. Many of my customers, I built relationships over 6 months before I finally caught them, before they finally opened a door to me. And that's what God's calling. He's calling you to walk with people, walk a road with people, build bridges. The time will come when the fruit is ready to be plucked. Let your primary objective be to form a deeper understanding of that person and to form an actual connection with them. Don't be so, you know what, you've got to hear what I'm saying. People do not like a person that knows it all. Have you ever met a person for the first time and this person just talks and talks and talks and he knows everything? We don't want to be friends with people like that. We want to be friends with people that can connect with us, that have got things in common with us. Communicating with your mind and emotions instead of letting Christ speak through you. That's another mistake we make. We try and communicate instead of asking His Holy Spirit to speak through us. So when you face a situation, what should we do? Lord, give me the words to speak. How do I reach this person? That is prayer. In that moment, you don't have to pray for hours. Ask God to help you. And He will help. Mark 13:11 says, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Like I said earlier in Romans, God's grace is with us. When we step out, He will meet us there and He will give us a word to speak. So, I've got 4 more points. And those points are, how do we pray more effectively for the lost? Because that is our mission. We want to reach the lost. We want to see these empty chairs filled, not for the sake of filling empty chairs, but for the sake of people that are once walking on the way to hell and damnation, but have eternal life. Eternal life is something that's a gift we cannot keep to ourselves, people. We have an obligation to share it with them. So how do we do this effectively? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says this, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So there's a clue in there. It says that the God of this age has blinded the eyes of his people. They cannot see the spiritual truth. How many times have you been, you try and tell somebody about God and they're not interested, or people are actually living their lives and they think they don't need God? The reason being, they are blinded. So we need to pray. So Lord, open their eyes. Let the scales fall from their eyes. Give me an opportunity, Lord, once the scales have fallen, to speak into their lives. Because spiritually they are blinded. This is what the word says. So we pray for the scales will fall from their eyes and that their hearts will be open to receive the message. So Lord, let the scales fall from their eyes. Soften their hearts that I can speak for them. Then they will know the truth. They will see the truth. So always pray for the scales to be lifted from their eyes. Second point is, pray for him to be set free from spiritual captivity. We all, the word is very clear, we all are captured in sin, a state of sin before we come to Christ. We are enslaved to sin. And many of us have tried to get rid of that sin in our lives. We cannot do it in our own strength. It's only by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus, that we can be washed clean from our sins. 2 Timothy 2 verse 25 to 26, it says, opponents must be gently instructed. So people that you are sharing the gospel must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. The enemy keeps people captive in their sin. He wants to keep them captive in their sin. But we've got to pray, Lord, set them free. Set them free, Lord. Give me opportunity to speak to them. Point three is, grant them a willing heart to listen. Matthew 13:15 says this, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and in turn, I would heal them. I remember before I got saved, how many times people have tried to speak to me about God, and my heart would be hardened. How many times in rebellion, people said, don't do this, and I will actually just do that just to spite them. I've tried to speak to family members about sin in their life, and it seems to just get worse. They try and spite you. That is rebellion. They are captive in their sin. Their hearts have been calloused. It is difficult to break through a heart that is hard. So you've got to ask, Lord, soften their heart. Let those calluses fall off. A stubborn heart will not bend its ear to hear his word. We're all going to realize that when we in sin actually means missing the mark. We have missed what God has prepared for us, what God has planned for us, his purposes for us, and we've decided to walk a different road. So ask the Lord to soften their hearts so that they also realize that they are actually in rebellion to God. In their rebellion, their sin actually leads him to eternal death. Earlier I read that Matthew 9:38 scripture says this, the fourth point is send a person to share God's word. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. How many of you have started to speak to a family member and they are just closed? It's like the curtains just close, the blinds go down, they don't want to hear you. I remember trying to speak to a family member for years, praying for him, and they wouldn't listen to me. And one day somebody else spoke to him. And they accepted the gospel. I said, but you, I've tried so hard. That is why we ask Lord to raise up laborers as well. For those people, Lord, if they don't listen to me, send somebody else on their path. How many times have you tried to explain something to your children or somebody at your workplace and they don't get you and somebody else comes in and they just, and the person gets it and says, but that's what I've been telling you all along. Jesus even said, a prophet is not welcome in his own hometown. A lot of times people that you are too close to won't necessarily listen to you. No matter how hard you try, that's why you say, Lord, send somebody. If they won't listen to me, send somebody across their way that can speak to them. As I said earlier, we our church in the mission, and I said it before, that we cannot sit in church and just be spectators. I used the analogy before, that God has not called his church to be a cruise liner. Where some people are doing the work and some people are obeying God's word and other people come just to be entertained. Not an entertainment arena this. This is the equipping arena. This is a war room. This is where we discuss and we get trained and we get equipped to do battle out there. We are, God's church is a battleship. My prayer this morning is that just something of this will grasp your heart. Say, Lord, you know what? Like you said in Romans earlier, it says, through him we have received grace and apostleship. The apostle is the messenger. Somebody that has been sent by God as a messenger to do his word. It says, through him we have received grace and apostleship. We are messengers of God. So when I feel inadequate, or I sit there and I think to myself, it's not my job, or maybe else can do it better than me, I'm an introvert. I said the first time I was asked to pray something, I froze. I still remember Richard Pratt from Hilton Christian Fellowship gave him a message, Keith, say grace. I froze. That's the kind of introvert I am. I couldn't say, I had to hand the mic to somebody else. But I knew God has done something in my heart. I said, Lord, you know what? If I can bring one person to know you, if I can save one person from hell, I'll forget about being an introvert. I've got no excuses. So my prayer this morning for you is, Lord, you know, do a change in my heart. Help me to sit at your feet more. Help me to be a person sitting at your feet and not be distracted by things around me. Because that's a weapon that the enemy uses. He keeps us so distracted in our daily lives that we forget about sharing the good news with other people. So my encouragement of you, start in your quiet time. Start at the feet of Jesus and ask him, Lord, deposit your heart in me. What is your heart? And quickly we'll find out that his heart is for the mission. His heart is for the lost. That is why we are here, to know him and to make him known. Can we pray? Jesus, you came to set the captives free, Lord. People that are bound up in sin, people that are bound up or carrying diseases and sickness, Lord. And you came, Lord, so that we don't have to carry those burdens in our lives, Lord. Your precious blood, Lord Jesus, was shed on Calvary, Lord, so that we can be set free and so that we can be in relationship with you again, Lord. And Lord, my prayer is this morning, Lord, that each one of us, Lord, would be found at your feet, Lord. Those that are call themselves children of God, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we set aside all the hindrances, Lord. Those things, Lord, preventing us from sitting at your feet, Lord. I pray, Lord, that today we will make a decision. Lord, let me be found at your feet. Lord, let me be found in a place where I pray for others more than what I pray for myself. Lord, that I will be found in a place, Lord, where I pray for the lost more than what I pray for things of this earth, Lord. And Lord, as we do it, I thank you, Lord, that your word says your grace is sufficient for us. I thank you, Lord, that you say that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, the same resurrected power, Lord, that was there at the beginning of creation, Lord, the same power that said, let it be, and it happened, Lord. That same power lives within us, Lord, in the form of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do this by ourselves, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we don't have to do it in our own strength, Father. But I thank you, Lord, that we can just say, Lord, teach me what to say in this moment. Lord, show me how to reach this person's heart. Lord, lift the scales from this person's eyes. And I believe, Lord, every one of us can do that, Lord. So, Father, I pray, Jesus, I pray anointing upon each one of us, Lord. I pray, Lord, from today forth, we will pick up the bat and say, Lord, I want to run with this thing. Lord, I want to share your gospel with other people so that they too can walk into fellowship with you, Lord. So Jesus, I pray your blessing upon your people. I pray your protection upon your people. Lord, I know the enemy would want to come and steal this word from a people's heart. But I pray, Lord, that you would seal it, Lord, as it deposits in their heart for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.